The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
In a year of uncertainty, all is right in the world. Tom Brady in the championship game. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Good morning, fellas. Okay. Pretty simple.
Good morning.
Brady didn't make mistakes, and Breeze did. Stephen A., were you more impressed by the Bucs or disappointed by the Saints?
Well, I was disappointed by the Saints because I was disappointed in the performance of Drew Brees. Drew Brees obviously has had more spectacular performances throughout his career. That clearly was not the case yesterday. Threw three interceptions, only threw for about 134 yards. That's putrid. We're talking about Drew Brees here, particularly considering the fact that this was potentially his last game. I was also relatively disappointed in Sean Payton. We all know what a genius he is, particularly coaching on that offensive side of the ball. Even though he's your head coach, he's a brilliant play caller and what have you. I thought that Alvin Kamara's number should have been called more. Now, I predicted Tampa Bay was going to win this game. I wasn't high. I wasn't strong on that opinion. I just didn't want to jump off the bandwagon. So I'm not going to be hypocritical here, Molly. But what I would tell you is that I found it very, very difficult to believe that Tom Brady is that GOAT, that Tom Brady is that elite quarterback, that Tom Brady is that six-time Super Bowl champion who's been to 9 Super Bowls in his illustrious career. And you shellack him not once but twice during the regular season, and we were going to get more of the same in a divisional playoff game. I just found that incredibly hard to believe, that him having 3 shots at the apple to go up against somebody, that he was going to wet the bed. And sure enough, he did not. Now, he wasn't spectacular yesterday, but he got it done. 199 yards, 18 for 33 passing. I get it. But the defense, Todd Bowles, arguably deserves the game ball because that defense pretty much held New Orleans in a little bit of check. And as a result of that, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are moving on. They're going to Lambeau Field for an NFC Championship game. And the New Orleans Saints are going home. And I think it's because we expected more from Brees and didn't get it. We expected more from Sean Payton and we didn't get it. And we expected more from Alvin Kamara. And it was no fault of his own that we didn't get it, because he should have gotten the ball more.
I was more impressed by Tom Brady and the Bucs. And let me start by saying, yes, I'm the cliff. That's right. And he proved me wrong. But there's something else that he's proving right now. He left Bill Belichick, Tom Brady did, with the cupboard bare. And he put himself in a great position. Nevertheless, he then had to go out and get it done. Not easy in a COVID year when you're on a new team and you have to figure everything out on the fly. He did it. And Molly, you said it off the top. Like right now, Brady looks really good. He's in a championship game, in a conference championship without Belichick. Belichick's 7-9 and sitting at home. But you pointed out why, Molly. He didn't make mistakes and Drew Brees did. Was Tom Brady spectacular? No, he's 43 years old. But in the moment of truth, I tweeted out before the fourth quarter, okay, here we are, tie game. Drew Brees has a chance here. He has 1 championship in his career. Tom Brady has 6. An enormous reason Tom Brady has 6, not just Belichick. Tom Brady's decision-making is better than everyone else's. That's really why he's the GOAT. And in these situations, much more often than not, he comes through. At the very least, he doesn't hand it to the other team. As usual, Tom Brady didn't make mistakes, and the other quarterback did. But it was more than just Brady. The offensive line, which had an injury and then the backup got hurt and the whole thing, the offensive line protected Brady very well. The Saints really were not bothering him with pressure for most of that game. It's what it is. The defense was getting after it. So the Bucs were really better, in fact, on both sides of the ball by the end of the game. And their quarterback, in the moment of truth, came through, at least by not messing it up. And the Saints quarterback didn't. But you know what? A lot of quarterbacks messed that up. Well, who has the decision-making of Tom Brady? It's why he's the GOAT. I was impressed.
Well, let's be clear about something here, too. We can't let Jared Cook off the hook. He had, Drew Brees connected with him over a beautiful pass over the middle, and he got stripped. And obviously that ended up being a turnover. One of Drew Brees' interceptions, it hit Jared Cook right in the shoulder, right in the left shoulder. It bounced off of his shoulder. Obviously his vision was impaired to some degree because there was a defender right in front of him. But the ball hit him, went through his hands, hit him in the shoulder, and caromed off of him into the arms of a Tampa Bay defender. And so we got to look at him. He didn't have the greatest game as well. He was clearly frustrated. He cared a lot, obviously. He was incredibly frustrated because he knew that was on him. So you got to take those things into consideration as well. Everything wasn't on Drew Brees. It's just that in the end, when there's so much expectations that's been placed on the shoulders of this future Hall of Famer, who was arguably playing in his very last game as an NFL star quarterback. And then you look at Sean Payton and his genius, and you look at Alvin Kamara, 18 carries, 85 yards, how effective he was whenever he touched the ball. Why in God's name would you not get the ball to him more? I understand that Todd Bowles' defense, you know, was doing their thing, but still in all, Alvin Kamara has that explosive kind of play attached to him. You got to get him the ball a little bit more. He didn't touch the ball nearly as much as he should, as far as I'm concerned. I thought he should have touched the ball at least 25 times yesterday.
Look, you're right about Drew Brees. He hits a tight end, and the tight end gets stripped. That's not on Drew Brees. And heading into the fourth quarter, however they got there, because especially early in the game, it's like the Saints should be up by a lot right now. They're not, because of a couple key plays, and one of them was really not the Saints' fault. But heading into the fourth quarter, whatever had happened already. Now what you're going to do? What are you going to do about it? And it's not so much just that Drew Brees messed up, but Tom Brady didn't. One thing I felt very comfortable about, the reason my focus was on, okay, Brees, what are you going to do, is because I had a lot of confidence that at the very least, Brady wouldn't screw it up. It's not that he's infallible. He's made bad decisions in huge moments before because he's been in so many of them. But much more often than not, he doesn't beat himself. He doesn't force it. He's not the reason you lost. Even in the Eagles Super Bowl, right, for a billion yards, he wasn't the reason they lost that game. He did it again. He did it again. His offensive line came through. His defense is peaking at just the right time. That was a very impressive performance by the Bucs on the road against a team that has beaten them twice in obviously a must-win game for them, but also a big game in a certain respect for Brady's legacy, just in the sense that, okay, Tom Brady, you're not in a division with the weakest quarterbacks ever over a 20-year period. So you have a free pass to the AFC Championship game. You're now in a division with another great quarterback, and he's beaten you twice. What are you going to do? Are you going to get to the championship game again? The answer was yes. It was impressive by Tom Brady and the Bucs.
Correct me. Listen, help me out here, guys, and forgive me if I didn't know my ignorance, Molly. Did Michael Thomas get hurt or something? Did something happen to Michael Thomas? Did I miss something? The $20 million a year receiver, targeted four times, not a single catch in an NFC divisional playoff game? I mean, not a catch.
Yeah.
Not
Max
one.
Max tweeted it. It looked like the Saints were trying to lose.
I mean, listen, he was completely shut down. Mm-hmm. He was completely shut down. And so we got to pay attention to that as well. Emmanuel Sanders had some decent numbers, 6 receptions, 48 yards. Chaquan Smith had 3 receptions, 85 yards. But Michael Thomas had no catches, and Alvin Kamara didn't touch the ball more. Again, I have to look at Sean Payton, who I respect and like a great deal. But I have to look at him because how are your two primary weapons for Drew Brees such non-factors? Both can be attached to Sean Payton. Where was your game plan? You can't get off your number one receiver that's getting paid $20 million a year? What the hell is the problem? He just signed a contract. We all talked about how much he deserved it. We all talked about what a stud Michael Thomas was and is. We still believe he's a stud. How the hell do you not have one single catch in a divisional playoff game? Not one.
Yeah. I mean, Godwin dropped a touchdown. Stephen A. Godwin dropped a touchdown. Both you could point to details on both sides, but at the end of the day, Brady didn't mess it up.
Is Godwin getting paid $20 million? No. $20 million?
What does that have to do? Yeah, right.
That has a lot to do with it, man.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's the man.
$20 million?
You got to make it happen. Big time players, big time moments.
That's why he got paid.
You know?
Right, but the point is you can point to that kind of stuff on both sides of the ball. What you can't point to
was not Michael Thomas.
In the fourth quarter, in the moment of truth, is Tom Brady screwing up.
Max, you just said yourself, you go to Antonio Brown. You got Mike Evans. You consider those two before you consider Godwin. Michael Thomas is the man.
Godwin's a bad dude.
And it's been, he's been dropping passes lately, and he dropped one yesterday. But he's a bad, he can ball. But Michael Thomas is that dude for Drew Brees for years.
Michael Thomas is better than Godwin. That's right. That's true.
20 million a year.
Here's what I do know, fellas. We now have an NFC championship game for the ages. Yes, sir. That bad man and the GOAT. I cannot wait for it. But
for the ages?
He's a bad man.
Yeah, for the ages, Max. Come on. Rodgers and Brady, what's better? You thought that was a little aggressive? I'm into it. Let's keep it moving here.
Championship game for the aged.
Oh, no Patrick Mahomes, no problem for the Chiefs. After Mahomes left with a concussion in the third quarter, up 19-10, Chad Henne stepping up to keep Kansas City's hopes alive, including a 4th-and-1 conversion to Tyreek Hill, 1:14 remaining, to seal the deal, closing out the Browns' season. Max, talk to me. Why did the Browns lose this game?
Andy Reid is why they lost the game. Andy Reid is not playing games. He is showing coaches in the NFL. No, you know, it's funny because Arians is no risk it, no biscuit, right? But fortune favors the bold. Andy Reid don't coach scared. And by the way, some of that may be Super Bowl equity, right? Maybe he's looking for his Philly special play because his understudy won the Super Bowl before he did. But Andy Reid, however he's gotten to where he's gotten, a guy who, because of clock management, was considered maybe a weakness deep into the playoffs, is really showing out right now, deep in the playoffs. Oh, but Reed, you have Patrick Mahomes. It's easy when you have Mahomes and a complement of weapons. Okay, take Patrick Mahomes away. What then? With your backup quarterback? Now, you faked out Tony Romo. Tony Romo, right? Can't he see into the future? Tony Romo, they're not going to run a play here. That's by design. Their body language, by design, is meant to make you think they're just trying to draw you off sides. That's the point. Oh, they're just looking for a first down. And then he runs a play with his backup quarterback on 4th down. Really, with the game on the line, they complete this first down. The game's over. And it worked. Andy Reid is a gangster, period. And a big coaching advantage at this point. And is you know, if anything, enhancing his legacy game after game. He was the difference. At the end of the game, he iced it. It's Andy Reid.
Well, first of all, you're wrong. Andy Reid didn't enhance his legacy yesterday. The bottom line is he enhanced it when he finally won a Super Bowl, because we all knew Andy Reid to be a great coach, but the only thing that escaped his resume was a Super Bowl championship. All of those years he coached in Philly, I would know. I was there covering the man and the dude. He couldn't get over the hump and then finally got to a Super Bowl, and then they lost to Tom Brady in New England. But the bottom line is this. When you look at that last play, even though we appreciate it, remember the play before that, Max, you got 12 yards to go. Henne scrambles because he couldn't find an open receiver. That wasn't a set design play or scramble or anything like that. And he was running for his life and needed a first down and scrambled out of the pocket and ended up getting those yardage. That was a broken play right there. So I'm going to give more credit to him than Andy Reid in that particular situation. That's number one. And number two, I'm also going to give credit for the loss to Kevin Stefanski to some degree, a coach of the year candidate in my eyes, who did a hell of a job in Cleveland. But should Nick Chubb have gotten the ball more than 13 times? I kind of think so. Nick Chubb is a stud. Get that man the damn ball. They were having problems stopping this brother, particularly in the second half, running the football. How about Kareem Hunt? Last time I checked, that's a stud. When we look at the Cleveland Browns, we look at them as having arguably the best dynamic duo in the backfield in the entire NFL. Kareem Hunt had 6 carries. Six. So I'm saying, I'm like, wait a minute here. Nick Chubb can run the football, 13 carries, 69 yards. Kareem Hunt can run the football, 6 carries, 32 yards. Molly, both of those averages are 5.3 yards per carry. You think you should have ran the ball just a little bit more? More than 19 times? I think so, but they didn't. I ain't counting the three rushes for Baker Mayfield.
Then what was the stat? How teams beat the Chiefs? They had to rush for at least 160 yards every win this season.
And who's more capable of running for those yards than the Cleveland Browns?
Facts.
So if you Kevin Stefanski, give them the damn ball. Now, Baker Mayfield, to me, didn't play a bad game. That one interception, well, obviously was not a good one. But the bottom line is, outside of that, I thought Baker Mayfield played a relatively good game. But You got to run the football against Kansas City. And then when Patrick Mahomes goes down and he's concussed, okay, and you know you got Chad Henne in there, and he comes in and throws some inexplicable interception all the way into the end zone, you've had chance after chance after chance, and you're moving the ball. Now, Rashad Higgins, you got to applaud the effort with him trying to reach for the end zone and then ultimately gets the touchback because he fumbles it out of the end zone and stuff like that, because that would have brought it to within 16-10, and we get all of that. But it was still plenty of time to overcome that, particularly when Patrick Mahomes goes down. You've got to run the football. So I'm not sitting. I know Andy Reid's a great coach. I've known him personally for years. I'm telling you right now, the one thing that I will say, I didn't walk away thinking about Andy Reid yesterday. I walked away thinking about what Cleveland didn't do running the football. And I ran away thinking about Henne on that scram.
Well, I think it's because he went for it. He coached
also,
to win. He didn't coach scared.
Look,
go ahead, Max.
The Browns were a bit snake bit. Like, first of all, the touchback, right? Like, you know, I don't like the rule. Most people don't like the rule.
It's a bad rule.
It's almost a touchdown.
Let them hold the ball. Let them keep the ball.
The refs missed a helmet-to-helmet shot, right? Like, so they missed the call. It's a bad rule plus a missed call. The Browns are a little snake bit. But I want to get back to a few things you said. Baker Mayfield, I thought, was very good. Not just okay, there's very good, bordering on excellent. I give him a B+, almost an A-. I thought he was quite good yesterday, in fact. And when you mentioned running the ball, the Chiefs were stout against the run. Like, they really weren't. They were putting themselves in bad positions running the ball in terms of down and distance because the Chiefs were stout against the run early. And Stefanski tried to mix some things up, and Baker hit Chubb a couple times in the hands on plays that maybe could change the game. And Chubb drops the ball. They were trying, and then later in the game, as the Kansas City defense, okay, but later in the game, as the Kansas City defense loosened a bit, then Kareem Hunt was getting the ball. And when Mahomes went out of the game, they were coming back on them. Stephen A., the game had a feeling like the Browns maybe could win it late. Precisely because they did start to run the ball as the game wore on. Precisely because Mahomes was out of the game. And it looked like, wow, as snake-bit as the Browns have been, here is the comeback. That's why the Reid call was so big. On 4th-and-1, not only do you go for it, but you make it look like you're not going to go for it with your backup quarterback, and then you go for it, and the game's over. That is the moment of truth play, the incredibly high-leverage play, where Andy Reid earlier in his career was killed for stuff like that. He comes through and it wins them the game, or at least ices the win. That's why I left that game early on. I'm thinking about a bad rule and a missed call and poor Cleveland Browns. And by the end of the game, I thought, boy, Andy Reid is really showing off right now.
Yeah, the Browns were given a gift, though, and they weren't able to capitalize.
Yes.
A
big time gift. Yeah. A big time gift. And again, that one play that Andy Reid called, I mean, he's got courage. He's courageous. I give him props for that. I'm just thinking that's not the reason, that's not the thing you should have walked away from this game thinking about. Not with all that happened.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I don't know if I'm going to anticipate Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs being that matchup nightmare that the Baltimore Ravens can't handle. I'm not sure Buffalo is going to have what it takes. Too many times, on too many occasions, they do just enough to win. Man. may have been wrong.
That is blasphemous.
I'm insane.
Y'all take it easy. I'm out.
Okay, so the Bills tweeting at Stephen A, and no one likes to make fun of Stephen A and get on him more than I do, but weren't you perfect in your picks? Didn't you pick the Bills?
Yeah.
So what was that?
Listen, I don't know. My man Derek Boyko and others work for the Buffalo Bills. I've known them for a few years or whatever. Love them. Very proud of the Bills organization, but you have an obligation to make sense. The fact of the matter is that video where you showed the part where you show me laughing,
yeah,
that was a video I had made about the Dallas Cowboys. That had nothing to do with the Bills. That's no, I was laughing after the Dallas Cowboy loss, okay? So, you know, you just put a compilation together and I don't know what that was about. But more importantly than that, I picked the Bills to win Friday.
That's what I thought. That's why I was lost.
It was Max that picked the Ravens.
Mm.
So I'm just saying, I mean, I'm not encouraging them to get on Max. We got to pick somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just saying that I didn't pick the Ravens. I picked the Bills. So
they were
if you're the Buffalo Bills, Bills Mafia. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you trying to apply y'all gangster-like or whatever. Y'all can say that now. I don't know where the hell you've been since the 90s. Congratulations that you reappeared. But the bottom line is you do have an obligation to, like, pay attention. I picked the Bills to win the game.
Yeah.
Looking at that montage they put together, they were using clips of Stephen A. that were so old talking about the Bills. I thought it was baby Stephen A.
How about that? I was the one who picked the Ravens.
Listen, don't get the facts. Let them get in the
people
way.
People talking
story,
to me,
right?
Texting me on social media all day yesterday, texting me about what was on social media. I'm like, what y'all talking about? Pick the Bills. What are they talking about?
Hi, Dan Orlovsky. Good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Had fun watching you on Get Up this morning. All right, let's get into it. But on a serious note, how about the Bills keeping the Ravens to just 3 points? Yeah. Stephen A., is it fair to put the loss on the quarterback, on Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, it is. The pick six. You go, you're about to drive and tie the score, and instead you throw a pick six of 101 yards. I think that we recognize the fact that that's the difference. I'm not trying to sit up there and say overall, you know, the Baltimore Ravens did everything right. Of course, we're not saying that. The decisions that could have been made, we understand that. But in the end, what it comes down to is that you were driving. And this cat Johnson, Teron Johnson, turned, you know, an interception into a 101-yard touchdown return. I'm not going to even nitpick like Max would do. You know how he got on Cam Newton for not going for that, for, you know, not chasing that ball when he fumbled Super Bowl? I didn't say that, but you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, Lamar Jackson should have ran that dude. You're usually the fastest dude on the field. Defenders usually can't catch you, but suddenly you can't catch this guy? I mean, come on now. You could have made a better effort to tackle him and prevent that pick six. But nevertheless, that's what happened. In the end, Baltimore's defense has been real all year long. Top six, or rather top two, actually, in points allowed. Top seven in yards against the pass, yards against the rush. The defense has been complete. It's been real. Their running game is number one, primarily because of Lamar Jackson's ability to run the football. What's been the Achilles heel? You have to be able to throw the football. And at the end of the day, not only did Lamar Jackson not play lights out throwing the football, he actually threw a pivotal pick six in the third quarter that I think had a profound effect on the impact, on the outcome of this game. Of course, I have to put it on him. Without the pick six, we're having a different conversation. But that pick six was everything. There's no question in my mind about it.
A pick six was a bad play, although I don't think you expect it to get the interception to be run back 101 yards. And by the way, to my recollection, I might be wrong about this, I thought Lamar made a good effort down the field and just got blocked. I think he got blocked from making a tackle.
Your eyes mess with you sometimes, Max, when your back starts hurting, Max, and then after that, somehow, some way, it affects your eyes sometimes. Your back is pain and makes you squint. Might miss something.
I got LASIK surgery. I'm all good. Look, I'll say this. Lamar needed to be the reason they won and overcame. He wasn't that. But I can't pin the loss on Lamar. They were playing, and Dan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, looked like a cover four, right? So they're taking away anything deep, and they're also trying to play the run. And so, like, they weren't attacking the flat and stuff like that, and they should have. And maybe that's play design, and maybe that's play calling, and maybe that's Lamar just not going through progressions quickly enough. Whatever that is, he could have been better. There's no question. But guys, you heard the offensive line talk about actually crowd noise did affect them. They couldn't hear the cadence. You heard the center couldn't snap the ball, right? Like, that's two things so far. Dobbins drops a pass that I think probably would have been a touchdown. There's three different plays that could affect the game, not just the pick six. Justin Tucker, and you know, the real reason I took the Ravens in this game, I thought it's going to be close. They're both going to play defense well. And Justin Tucker gives you such an advantage there that in those kind of close games, I really liked the Ravens. I liked them against the Titans for that reason. I liked them here. Justin Tucker misses two field goals because it's, you know, windy conditions. But it starts to add up. Your guy drops a pass to be a touchdown. Your usually best guy in the business misses two field goals. Your offensive line is playing poorly, and the center can't snap the ball. Yes. Oh, by the way, you also don't have any playmakers. Like, in the moment of truth, the remains of Dez Bryant is out there trying to make a play. Let's be honest about this. So was Lamar Jackson the reason they won? Or we're in a position to win? No, he wasn't. He has to be better. He has to get better. But I can't look at that game and say Lamar is why they lost.
Man, Max, hearing you give all these reasons to why this game went the way that they did, it just warms my heart, because if I do it, I'm known as the excuse maker. I'm making excuses for quarterbacks. So I like the fact that you're learning a little bit and giving reasonings why. Second of all, Stephen A., when I saw those clips of you talking trash on the Bills and then bringing throwback, I mean, the big thing that stood out to me was the hairline. So that was the overwhelming thing that told me when those videos were made.
Let's see what the hair is. Let's see what your hair's looking like when you get into your 50s.
Like the rings of a tree.
That's what men do into other people's face. We'll see. Men do it behind each other's back.
I'm going to have no problem. It's going to be gray, but it'll be thick and full. Okay. Listen. The reason the Baltimore Ravens lost this game, I'm putting on the front office in Baltimore. They have to go get Lamar a number one wide receiver. They took Hollywood Brown in the draft, and Hollywood Brown has shown signs. There's traits. There's skills there, but he hasn't developed to be the number one. Look at the teams left in the playoffs. They've all got ones. Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs. Tyreek Hill, they're ones. And the pass game for Baltimore, both schematically, has to grow. They have got the coolest run game in the NFL with Greg Roman scheme-wise. But they were out-coached in that as well. If you watch this game, two things stood out with Buffalo when it came to their defense. When they were in the pistol, Baltimore, meaning the tailback is in the shotgun lined up behind Lamar, they blitzed the fullback every single time. It shut down their run game. When they went in two back, they blitzed the boundary. It shut down their run game. So that's got to grow, but their pass game scheme-wise has to grow. Then they have to go get either Allen Robinson or Kenny Galladay. That should be the number one goal this offseason. Go get Lamar a bona fide number one receiver. Over the last two seasons, do you know what quarterback in the NFL has targeted tight ends and running backs in the pass game more? Lamar Jackson. You know who's bottom 10 targeting wide receivers? Lamar Jackson. So, like, this game isn't strictly because Lamar threw that pick six. Certainly, it has its play, but Max pointed out the two missed field goals by Tucker are huge. The fact that we couldn't get the snap on a consistent basis are huge. The fact that Buffalo decided we're going to line up and we're going to put 10 guys near the football and we're not scared of you throwing the ball downfield because we're not scared of anybody going to make the play downfield. That's a huge reason why. Lamar will grow. Lamar is going to continue to develop and get better, but they've got to go get a bona fide stud on the outside for that pass game to grow and to not allow what happened this past weekend to happen again.
First of all, I'm going to call you out about something because I don't like your analysis at all. And okay. Here's the reason why. Let me tell you why. Because you start off, in all seriousness, you start off talking about I'm going to blame the front office because they don't have a number one receiver.
Yeah.
We knew that coming into the game.
Right.
We knew that coming into the game. So the point is we knew that coming into the Buffalo game, you didn't have a number one receiver. We knew that coming into the Tennessee game. We knew that throughout watching the Baltimore Ravens throughout the season. So what I'm trying to say is that, excuse me, let's talk about the game that took place Saturday night. That pick six is far more important than the fact that it didn't stop you from driving down the field. It didn't stop you from getting to within 8 yards of course.
How did they get down the field, Stephen A.? How did they get down the field?
Excuse me. Were they not running? Was he not running the football?
And not only that. On second and 16 scrambled for a first down.
But let me finish. I understand all of that. What I'm saying to you is I'm not disagreeing with you that they need a number one receiver. I'm not disagreeing with you that their passing attack wasn't great. They ranked dead last this season. But the point is, in the end, you were still in a position to tie. and you threw a pick six. That's not about anybody but Lamar. That's about him.
But Stephen A.,
Is that not about him? Hold it. Is that not about him? Yes or no?
It's a bad read.
Was that the play of the game? Was that the play of the game?
Yes, but the game doesn't come down to a single play, Stephen.
I understand that. But in the end, listen, I keep telling all of you damn NFL aficionados, the dangerous part about me is not only do I respect y'all, I watch y'all. I watch you all the time, Dan. Talk about a play here and there. Max, you have raved about Dan Orlovsky breaking down film and highlighting how one play, two plays, three plays can make the difference in the game. I'm saying to you is we know all of the stuff that you said, but Stephen A., that one play was the play of the game.
I'm going to give you that, Stephen A. You're dead accurate on that. That is the play of
Stephen
the game.
A., that's all I'm saying.
But I can't blame the loss on Lamar. But I could blame that play swinging the game, but I look at the game in totality and go, Lamar's not the reason they lost. That play is the reason they lost, but the quarterback's not the reason they lost.
There are pivotal plays that happen in the game that determine the outcome.
Play went
a long way towards determining the outcome. Go ahead,
actually,
Max.
Dan, when he breaks down tape, I think my favorite part is he talks about scheme. And in fact, Dan, you taught me a lot about the last year about what just watching you, about what the Ravens do. And I agree, based on everything I know about the Ravens offense, it looks like they have to diversify the offense. Yes. Because in the regular season, that works. But in the playoffs, when teams can prepare in a more focused way, they can shut down what the Ravens do best. And the Ravens don't seem to have a plan B. To Dan's point, Stephen A., a lead receiver, you're right, we knew that coming into the game. And I said, you know, Hollywood Brown has to be Hollywood Brown, not West Covina Brown, right? Yes. But it's not just on him. But think about Diggs on Buffalo and what a difference he's made to the development of Josh Allen. There is no one like that on Baltimore. And while we're at it, when you brought up receivers that Baltimore could bring in, Dan, I got another name for you. Odell Beckham Jr. They need a dynamic football player on that side of the ball to help Lamar Jackson.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Aaron Rodgers showing us exactly why Stephen A. calls him that bad man against the NFL's number one defense. Max, talk to me here. So many think Patrick Mahomes is the best in the league, but do you think Rodgers has taken his crown back?
I don't. And I think it was his to take back. Pardon me. Rodgers is the MVP this year. And if you were not long ago the best player I'd ever seen at the position, and then you win the MVP, you would say, well, okay, he took it back. Except that we've seen the emergence of Patrick Mahomes, who has now played three seasons. In his first season as a starter, he threw 50 touchdowns, should have won the Super Bowl. If not for a pre-snap penalty against his team, he'd have gone to the Super Bowl and, I believe, beaten the Rams. And he won the MVP. The next season, he gets better, at least in terms of touchdown to interception ratio, and he was 50-12 his rookie season, wins the Super Bowl MVP. This season, if anything, I think he got better again. 38 touchdowns, improved his touchdown to interception ratio again. And furthermore, guys, his team lost 4 games his first year, 3 his second, 1 this year when he's starting at quarterback. They almost never lose. Has the defense been great? No. Surely they have offensive weapons, no two ways about it. But the real thing is, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, and this is the reason they're favored, and now may not be because he got concussed. Because the Chiefs have Mahomes, they're favored to win the Super Bowl since the preseason. Because they have Mahomes. Because they have Mahomes, they won the Super Bowl last year. Aaron Rodgers was the best I'd ever seen. But to me, Mahomes, if there's a difference between them, I acknowledge it's very close, is Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had a baby. He's got the gunslinger thing, but with Aaron Rodgers' decision-making and accuracy, and maybe even more of an electric arm, and he's a little bigger and stronger than Rodgers. I think Mahomes is the guy right now. He's the reigning Super Bowl MVP. If he's healthy, I believe they do it again, Stephen A., and I believe it's because they have him.
Aaron Rodgers put the world on notice. Y'all must have forgot. We know he's going to win the league MVP this year. We know he deserves it. But I will remind everybody, this is his 13th season as the starting quarterback, his 16th season in the NFL. And he is fresh off of completing 70% of his passes, throwing 48 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. I know that Molly started off the segment saying, and I'm going to say it again, he's a bad man. The brother is special. Now, let me tell y'all something right now. I'm just looking at some of his career numbers. Just looking at some of his career numbers right here, okay? Do you understand that in all the years, and we watched Jameis Winston throw 30 interceptions. Mm-hmm. We've seen Tom Brady throw about 14, 15 interceptions, stuff like that. You understand that Philip Rivers last year threw 21 interceptions, even though he's much better this year? Do you understand that in his entire career, Aaron Rodgers has never thrown more than 13 interceptions in a season? That was one time. Another time, it was 11. He has never thrown double digits in interceptions in his entire career. He has 412 career touchdown passes and 89 interceptions. That's a better than 4-1 TD to interception ratio. I remind you, he's 37 years old. I remind you that they went out and drafted Jordan Love. I remind you that the other week, when he threw a pass to Tavon Austin, if I remember correctly, it was the first time in Aaron Rodgers' career that he threw a reception to a first-round wide receiver. They never even had the DC to get him in the first round. I mean, this brother right here, Aaron Rodgers, I understand that we're seeing things from Patrick Mahomes that are accepted. You know, and Max will appreciate this. I'm going to go to basketball route because Max tries to know this thing or two about basketball from time to time, even though I don't think he should be licensed to talk about basketball sometimes. But neither here nor there. You know, we didn't see from Julius Erving, Dr. J, what we saw from MJ. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't ignore the fact that he was the original. We couldn't ignore the David Thompsons. We couldn't ignore the Connie Hawkins. We couldn't ignore cats like this. You understand what I'm saying? I understand that there are people that take it to another level. And when Patrick Mahomes does that over a sustained period of time, I will bow down and give him props. But at this moment, right now, think about what we're saying here. We're going to talk about the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and how there's no way Aaron Rodgers is better. But in his 17th season at age 37, we are about to crown him league MVP. He's in the NFC Championship game. He's probably going to meet Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
You got me with the talent argument, the talent around him. That's fair.
I'm just saying, he's so special. Yeah. And then when we take into account the conditions, not drafting the first rounder, drafting his successor,
that's what I'm saying.
Giving them indications, your time is almost up.
We got
a contingency plan in place right in front of your face, and he shows up and balls like
Max.
This. Aaron Rodgers is so
As both of you know, I never doubt the greatness of Aaron Rodgers. And I said, until I saw Mahomes, I thought he's the best I'd ever laid eyes on. And Stephen A., it's never easily Patrick Mahomes better than Aaron Rodgers. Easily better than everyone else I've ever seen. Not easily better than Aaron Rodgers.
That.
Those two are in a class by themselves. They, like, Rodgers, although, yeah, last year Rodgers looked like he was slipping. At that point, Mahomes over Rodgers. But Rodgers at his best to Mahomes at his best, it's close. I'll tell you why I prefer Mahomes right now especially. Rodgers had an unbelievable year. Don't forget, Mahomes lost one game all year. And that was a game against Miami where he threw a couple of interceptions, two or three interceptions. It was his worst game of the season, easily.
Didn't he play
kind
against
Vegas? Kind of wrecked his season statistically by his...
Didn't he play against Vegas?
By his standards. Sorry. He okay. lost to the Raiders. He didn't lose to Miami. They actually won that game. Okay. In the game in which he played poorly, they actually won. Aaron Rodgers, the real mark against them this year was the loss to Tampa, who they now have to play again. Where he just got Devontae Adams back, he was forcing the ball. That was against Tom Brady in a very high-profile game, and Rodgers really wasn't good, and they lost. Now, Rodgers had an amazing season. But when you look at a snapshot, you're going back to career and say, look, not only is Rodgers winning the MVP this year, it's close over Mahomes, but he won it. He deserves it. But look at his whole career. But what I think is more relevant when talking about who's better right now is the recent past. Rodgers was not a top three or four quarterback last year. He's coming off a down year for him.
Right.
Mahomes, over the last three seasons, is easily the best player in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't,
and even this season is right there.
There's so much to say here because I want to challenge you on that. I don't want to end this segment, but we do have to get into break. We are going to revisit this a little bit later with Ryan Clark because I have follow-up questions for you, Max Kellerman.